Artists from minority backgrounds say that discrimination, exclusion and microaggressions like mean comments or jokes, well, they're all common experiences for them, and it's causing them to leave the Irish arts and creative sectors. Our reporter Esna Dodd has been finding out more about the barriers faced by working artists with disability.
Generally speaking, we found that discrimination on identity grounds, we're talking about ableism, homophobia, racism and transphobia, is a pervasive and persistent reality for those working in the arts and creative sectors.
Dr. Kira L. Murphy recently led a research team to engage with more than 500 artists in Ireland from minority backgrounds. The report, entitled Amplify, outlined the extent to which artists from minority backgrounds felt uncomfortable in the sector.
The kind of big ticket, like moments of like discrimination where there's like violence or really serious incidences, like that is unfortunately common. But what is much more common is this pervasive and persistent undermining and discrimination in the workplace. So that could be a negative joke or an assumption based on someone's identity, or a comment or non-inclusive language. For example, 63% of disabled respondents experience microaggressions in their workplaces. So this is something that's widespread and that's shared across, you know, various different identities. And of course, people are not just one identity.
Saoirse Smith is a comedian with cerebral palsy. She's also a wheelchair user. Saoirse is often forced to get out of her wheelchair and shuffle downstairs in order to get to her gigs.
People don't tend to really do anything. They just tend to look. Some people might offer to help. Some people might not. People try to walk past me as I'm trying to crawl upstairs, which has happened. You know, and it because and people just kind of stare, and because I have to take my time, it's quite embarrassing.
When you're on the stage and you're performing, has there ever been any microaggressions or outright aggression towards you?
When I only started, I remember people, the promoter basically introducing me, and I just happened to wheel up in front of the stage and they were clapping, and then once they saw the wheelchair, they stopped mid-clap. Some people try to sit on me while I'm on stage, which is not fun.
Nearly two-thirds of disabled artists like Saoirse reported experiencing microaggressions while at work. Emily Conway is a jazz singer with a visual impairment.
Because of having a disability, that impacts your overall health and how much you can work. To sustain a career in the arts, you need to be not only competitively talented, but competitively healthy. And that's where, as a disabled artist, we're not.
Negative perceptions of an artist due to their minority status led to them missing work opportunities. The report found this was true for nearly three quarters of disabled respondents.
My name is Toby Balligan. I've been living with chronic illnesses and, like, I guess what you would consider invisible disabilities. But I work primarily as a multidisciplinary artist, as a choreographer, dancer and movement director. Whether it's disability or race, there are little daily things that come up. There's a lot of stuff I say no to. Personally, I took a break from theater for a while because trying to be a Black disabled artist, trying to be seen as valid in that space or have your experience validated, has been part of a challenge. So there are points when I have honestly fully stepped away.
60% of disabled artists said they feared reputational damage for raising issues at work.
So a lot of people have opted out of the sector, unfortunately. The thing that has kind of cropped up a lot of the time is that these barriers, like, sometimes appear invisible to those who don't experience them. But actually, this is something that people have been talking about a long time. The burden of labour being done to improve conditions for minoritised artists and arts workers is falling on the artists and arts workers themselves. Whereas across all categories, it's clear that the power to enact meaningful change is in the hands of employers and organisations.
And that was Dr. Kira L. Murphy ending that report from Esna Dodd.